1340 WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Welcome to the program. It's Thursday. That means we're going to take a preview look at high school football for what's on tap this week and then what happened last week. A little pro football for you. Tonight's game, we'll let Blake Bernier preview that and also give you a tip about maybe the big game for the weekend and also a couple of fantasy tips for you. It's all coming up on today's show. Blake got to experience something he'd never experienced on his side of the football, and that's a running clock for Callaway County last week, right?
Yeah, Neil, I'll tell you what, that was it was something to behold. I mean, last year we were on the other side of a running clock.
Yeah.
Way too many times. I mean, 0-9 season. We experienced running clock, I want to say, 6 times last year. So, obviously, a running clock, not something I'm unfamiliar with, but it's the first time that Callaway is the team with the 36-point lead. And, man, what a defensive performance. I mean, this is the most dominant we've ever seen the defensive and offensive line be for Callaway County, at least in my 2 years. And, you know, they got a tough game this week. The Pilots of Fulton County are 4-2. They have one of the best rush attacks in the region. Caleb Kimball already has 1,256 yards on the ground on just 121 attempts.
Wow.
So he's averaging 10 yards a carry. And on top of that, he has 19 touchdowns. But the key with that team is, if you stop Caleb Kimball, you win the game. Because their passing game is just 14-29. They have 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So they are pretty much a one-sided team, and I'm sure Coach Champion going in knows what he has to do. But clearly, Kimball is an athlete, and got to contain the athlete. And you know, we have one of our own in Schwepker, and they actually did a pretty good job of containing him last week. Hopkins County Central did. His streak of 50-plus yard touchdowns was broken. So now we're going to call it a streak of 40-plus yard touchdowns because he scored from 42 out.
Goodness. That's good. So Fulton County, a bit of a one-trick pony, but the pony can do a lot of tricks. In other words, a very good player that if you let him loose, that could cost you the game.
Anytime you got a guy who's averaging 10 yards a carry.
Yeah.
He's obviously got something. I mean, vision, breakaway speed, mm-hmm. ability to break tackles. You know, the Lakers defense held the Storm last week under 100 yards of total offense in the first half. And we also had one of our better rushing performances. Stribling went over 150 and 2 touchdowns. And pregame, me and Mitch talked to him and said, look, we just want 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he delivered on his end. But the Lakers racked up, I think, 250 yards of rushing last week, and you know, it's hard to verify that, but if right. I recall correctly, it was 250 yards of rushing. So we've seen the Lakers offense evolve as the season has gone on. They've found new ways to get other players involved, and so offensively I feel very comfortable going against Fulton County, but defensively I'm looking to see another dominant performance from that defensive line, because you have a guy who can make plays averaging 10 yards a carry. He clearly knows how to find open holes in space, and he's got to have breakaway speed to be averaging 10 yards a carry. So contain him, and we win the game. That's the bottom line.
Obviously, this team has got some resiliency to it. They really got, they got beat down by Madisonville North Hopkins, and yet bounced back as they did. To me, that's mighty impressive, and they've been able to do that after losses this year.
Yeah, and in that Madisonville North Hopkins game, you know, we talked about this last week. Whenever the Lakers team of last year got down and it was a running clock, that was over. Turn off the lights. We can go home. But this team went into halftime with a running clock going, and they come out and put 14 points on the board in the second half. They had a no-quit attitude. I mean, they never considered themselves fully out of that game. And, you know, as outmatched as they were on the field, they still put up 14 points, and then they come back the next week, and Coach Champion had talked about, let's start fast. We want to put it away in the first quarter. Well, they didn't quite put it away in the first quarter, but they won every single quarter of the game, and they're in the fourth quarter, put another one on the board, and all of a sudden we've got our first running clock that I've ever done.
Wow.
And, you know, we did have, a little bit of help, I will say that, because two of the top receivers for the Storm were out last week, and it was a injuries suffered not only in the game prior, but also in practice that week. So they made a change offensively. They went to a different quarterback than we expected. The starter ended up coming in, and his very first pass in the second half ends up being a lateral that goes for a fumble. Touchdown. Callaway scored within 10 seconds of the first half, and they didn't get the ball.
Wow, that's
so
good.
It was just good to see the Lakers' full team come away with that win. That wasn't the offense doing well. They all played well. The special teams had some hiccups, but Coach Champion kind of pointed those out in our post-game interview, and he said, that's out of everything that we saw tonight, that's the one thing we're going to go back and work hard on, because coming up, I mean, you got Hopkinsville next week, and they've got some athletes on their team, and that's something you gotta lock down before we get to Hopkinsville.
It looks as if, and we figure this up, that they've made the playoffs. Hopkins
yes.
County Central has one game to play in the district, and if they win it and the Lakers don't win anymore, they would win the tiebreaker. So
right.
That's in. And to me, that shows significant progress. If they can get a win, that's already three wins. If they can put up a victory this week and make it to the playoffs, that's huge progress in a year.
You know, Neil, if you look at this season, Lakers could very well be 4-2 right now.
Yeah.
Because, obviously the game against Murray kind of got beat down, and it was the first game under the new system.
Right.
They didn't look really that comfortable. And then, obviously, the game against Madisonville, North Hopkins, those are losses.
Right.
I mean, you got beat. But you look at the game against Hancock County, we were in that to the end. I mean,
yeah.
One or two plays go the other way. We don't fumble inside the 20. We don't throw a pick inside the 10. Then you're looking at a different score in that one. And the same thing with Marshall. We missed a field goal to win it at the end of regulation. Missed another field goal earlier in the game. So there were moments throughout that, Callaway County could have easily come away with two more wins, and we're looking at a 4-2 team. So
right.
That's such an improvement from last year. Because last year we were down and out within the first 3 weeks. I remember talking with Coach Garrison last year as we were heading into the Hopkins County Central game, and he mentioned playoffs. And I said, what do you mean playoffs? We're 0-6.
Yeah.
How is this a playoff implication game? I mean,
I got to win one, though.
That was my first introduction to how, all you have to do is win your one, and
that's
you're
it.
In.
In a five team.
But still, that team never really inspired any confidence. And even though they were in that game against Hopkins County Central and lost at 28-23 last year, I never felt confident that team was going to go out and win. I mean, I knew they were going to go out and compete. They were going to have an opportunity, but it was over really quickly with those teams. With this team, even when they go down, I feel like they're not out. They're still able to come back, and I still think that they get the win this week, and I think that they have a legitimate opportunity to go out and beat Hopkinsville and get the 3 seed this year.
That'd be huge. That'd be huge. Murray High, they're off this week. Last week they played Mayfield at home. Mayfield, they're not just the top-ranked team in 2A. There may not be more than three or four teams better than them if there's that many in any classification in the state. They're really good, especially on offense. Murray was able to put up 28 points on them. It was 21-21 early in the second quarter. But Mayfield, they've had a tendency to make second-half adjustments and pull away, and that's exactly what they did against the Tigers, who went in playing well on a three-game winning streak.
Yeah, and they've got the leading rusher in the entire state, I believe, is Kent Trey Matthews, or at least in 2A, if that's what I read correctly. Their quarterback's throwing well. Did throw his first pick last week.
Yes.
Murray got the first interception on the kid, and he had 19 touchdowns, no interceptions going in. So, Murray found a little something, but again, the second-half adjustments, Murray just didn't have quite enough to hang with Mayfield, and like you said, I think Mayfield, state champions, and could very well be a overall state champion. They could absolutely at least compete with the top teams in any class.
They're really good, offensively especially. So, Murray, these bye weeks, usually at this time of year, they're really good. many times a little bit on the beat-up side. So they'll enjoy this one, and hopefully they can get back on the winning track. Because it is fall break for most school systems, there's not many games this week. There's Henderson County at McCracken County, and in 5A, that is a big district game. I think from what Ed Marlowe was telling me, McCracken wins this one, they're likely going to be the top seed in the district.
Well, I mean, I've looked at it, and I see it as a complete toss-up, but that's just because I haven't seen either one of these teams play. I looked at some stats online. These teams combined have 22 different players who scored touchdowns.
Goodness.
So, literally anybody on the field seems to have the ability to take it the distance or put points on the board for them. But at the end of the day, I did say it's a toss-up game, so I'm going with the home team. McCracken is at home, so I'm with Ed on that. I will agree the McCracken Mustangs do come out with the win.
Owensboro at Marshall County. Marshall County, I never can figure them out. They're really good one week. They're not as good the next week. But Owensboro, what do you think on this one?
Well, Marshall's lost three in a row. The offense has only put up 30 points or more three times this year. Going against an Owensboro team that has put up 30 points five out of the six games they played, I just don't think they have enough offense to compete with Owensboro. So I've got Owensboro winning this one, even though they are on the road at Marshall County.
Crittenden County is at Ballard Memorial. What do you think?
Well, I just think Crittenden County is just too good for Ballard. Ballard's got a great quarterback. That's really all Ballard has been leaning on this year in Marinelli. So I'll take Crittenden County. They're just too big and too strong.
West Carroll at Fulton City. We'll just see if Fulton City is able to get enough players to play that one. Trigg County is at Caldwell County. And that's basically the entire schedule for the week. So there's just not a lot going on.
Yeah, I'll take Caldwell County over Trigg County. And you know, Madison North Hopkins is on a bye. Graves is on a bye. Mayfield on a bye. So we really don't have a whole lot high school-wise to talk about this week.
Pro football tonight, we have the New England Patriots. Anyone who wrote them off says, well, it still may be an awful season. I don't know, but they sure bounced back with a huge win last week. And tonight, they probably will be pretty heavily favored with beat-up Indianapolis.
Yeah, Indy's going to be without Ty Hilton or T.Y. Hilton. They're going to be without Jack Doyle. They'll be without their running back, Marlon Mack. And their left tackle is questionable, so he may or may not play. He's got a hamstring injury, so... Patriots will win this one, and another big key for the Patriots tonight is they're getting back Julian Edelman, who's now back from his suspension. They did get a big win last week, despite Brady throwing two interceptions, so I was half right, half wrong last week, as I said Brady would be the guy you need to bench. He did throw the picks we anticipated, but he still came out and threw three touchdowns in a dominant win over the Dolphins. I just think they're healthier this week. They get Edelman back. Gordon is finally to a point where I feel like he will actually be heavily involved in the offense. Mm-hmm. And the last time this Colts team traveled to Foxborough, the final score was 45-7. The Patriots won. So I kind of expect a similar outcome. 45-20 is my guess tonight.
Shameless plug on Sunday WNBS with the Cardinals season finish. We begin our NFL coverage. We'll have doubleheaders via Sports USA Radio Network on throughout the season. At least it'll be from them unless they black us out on a Titans game or something. If so, we'll pick one up from Compass or somebody else. But we have those two games. Atlanta-Pittsburgh will kick it off. What about the top game as far as you're concerned this weekend?
Well, as good as Atlanta-Pittsburgh is going to be, that's going to be an offensive shootout. I think that the most intriguing game of the week, the one that's pretty much a coin flip, is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Kansas City Chiefs. This Jaguars defense is 100% elite. They are tops in yards allowed per game at just 260. They've only allowed 164 yards passing per game and just 14 points per game. But on the flip side, you've got the Chiefs coming in. They have a rush attack that's getting over 115 yards per game. They're averaging 36.2 points per game, and they have the ninth best passing attack, just shy of 300. It's a classic example of your top offense versus top defense. And at the end of the day, similar to the McCracken game, I'm going to go with the home team. So I'm taking Kansas City, but this one's tight, 100% tight.
Yeah, and Mahomes just been insane.
Oh, insane. And so I will say, shameless plug to myself, the last two games I've said are going to be the games of the week have gone to overtime.
There you go. They've been good.
We're back to back. Let's go for three in a row. Let's see if we can get Jacksonville and Kansas City into OT.
You've nailed that. We're going to move to fantasy advice. And last week you said sit Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make you put on the big dunce cap, just a tiny dunce cap, because you were right in the interception regard.
Yeah.
You pointed that out. But still, if someone left him in their lineup, he still put up a pretty good number for him.
Yeah, and you know, on my fantasy team, I had Mitchell Trubisky on the bench. So what do I really know? I had a 6-touchdown guy on the bench. But you know, Brady had a decent game. He did the interceptions thing like I expected, but he had two receivers step up who hadn't had a touchdown all year. They get touchdowns out of Dorsett and Cordarrelle Patterson. And so, you know, he ended up having a great game, and they dominated that Dolphins defense. And so this week, it's a value play. This is for daily fantasy players. My value play of the week is going to be Mark Ingram. He's back from suspension as well. He's playing for the Saints. And I think as far as points per dollar, he's going to be a great value this week. I think he'll get about 100 yards from scrimmage. He'll get a touchdown. It's an offense that's already number three in scoring, and now you're going to add a new element to it where they can go back to the old ways of Deuce and Reggie, and even last year, Alvin and Ingram on the same field at the same time. Makes it really tough for a defense to defend both, because you can flank them both out and run them as wide receivers too. They're both excellent players. I just think that the space provided will make Ingram just a top 10 running back this week. And great value.
Anybody we need to sit this week?
Yeah, and this time I'm confident in this one 100%. Last week I did say I was going out on a limb.
Were they on a bye week or something?
No, last week. I was going out on a limb. I admitted that. But this week you're benching the Seattle Seahawks defense. And there's several reasons for it. They are top 10 in yards per game given up. They are top 10 in scoring defense. They're a top 10 defense. But even with their third most interceptions in the league at 7, this week they're going to the bench because the Rams offense is who they're playing, and that's the number 2 scoring offense. And to make matters worse, Seattle just lost Earl Thomas. I'm sure everybody's aware of the Earl Thomas situation where he flipped off the sideline as he went off the field hurt. So now you've got you're missing your top safety, and you're going against the number 2 scoring defense or offense. Slide them to the bench. You don't want to put them. I actually have them on one of my fantasy teams, and I'm starting the Vikings against Philly just because I don't want to start Seattle against the Rams. I don't even feel confident in the Vikings this week, but anything's better than Seattle this week, I think.
How insane would the state of Missouri be if the Rams hadn't moved to Los Angeles?
Oh, my goodness.
The only two unbeatens in the same state.
Yeah,
but
and you know, this year it's looking more and more like Kansas City is legit. I mean, last week against Denver on Monday night, you know, it was a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter at Mile High Stadium. And, I mean, Mahomes did Brett Favre stuff. I mean, that's basically the way to say it. And not the interception stuff.
Yeah.
He had the rolling to his left, switches to his left hand as he's being tackled by Von Miller and throws a 10-yard pass with the left hand in stride to a receiver. And just he's a playmaker. He's able to escape the pocket, elude the rush, and led that comeback. I mean, that was Mahomes leading that comeback. So Kansas City's legit.
One college question before I let you go. Kentucky unbeaten. This, if they're going to go unbeaten, you know, they got that big hurdle with Georgia. We know that. But this is their big road game at Texas A&M. Can they win?
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it just last night. Apparently, Texas A&M opened as a 6.5-point favorite over Kentucky. And that just baffles my mind, because I want to know what they're looking at, because I've seen Texas A&M play this year. I've seen UK play this year. And I don't see what they're seeing, because UK has been way more physical up front, both offensively and defensively, than Texas A&M has been at any point this year. And Kentucky's done it consistently week in and week out. They're going to run the ball with Snell. There's no way you're going to stop him. And touchdown Terry Wilson has done a good job of managing the game and at times making plays that he feels are necessary. So I just, I mean, if I had the ability to find a bookie and make a bet, I would actually take UK in this game with the points easy.
All right. Blake, have a good trip. You ever been to Fulton?
I went to Fulton County for basketball last year a couple times.
And it was just like I told you. Keep driving, and when you think there's nothing out here, a school will
go
magically appear.
Yeah. Right. It'll just pop up.
And there it is. All right. Enjoy your trip. Maybe we'll talk about another Laker win next week.
All right.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.